You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You know I can be found. Elvis Day. Join me from Granbury, Texas, the Elvis Presley of Granbury, Texas. I don't think he has a cape, though. And now, Michael Musselman! Gunner, what's up?
What's going on?
What's going on? Like that? Are you quiet, boy, today? What's going on? Happy birthday! No. How'd the big birthday weekend go?
Good. We already talked.
I know, but we didn't know what happened on your birthday. You tried to play it off like you do with everything. Valentine's Day is every day in my house, so I don't do anything. We don't do anything. We never do anything. Christmas, it's just another day. We don't do anything for Christmas. We don't get a tree. We're just like a normal family.
No, I mean, it was a good weekend, so relax.
What'd you do? You do anything fun?
We went down to Glen Rhodes and had lunch at the Green Pickle.
The Green Pickle?
Green Pickle. It's a small little restaurant, little throwback place. Good food. Diner food. And then, there was a tactical store in, of all places, in Glen Rhodes. And Glen Rhodes is a small little town.
A tactical store?
Yeah, a tactical store.
Yeah, like,
so
those, first of all, just so everybody knows, those things are very specific, you know what I mean? It's a very specific product to a very specific clientele.
Yeah.
Were you stunned when you walked out and like, what is that doing here?
Well, I heard about it.
Oh.
Someone had told me about it. And then I went in there, I met the owner, who's probably like a 27-year-old kid from the Army. He did an enlistment in the Army, and now he's this, he runs a tactical store. So, you know, it was just kind of funny because most places that start up like that, all they do is they sell other people's wares.
Right.
So that's what he was kind of catering to. People in that county that never seen an MRE sells MREs, you know, and he sells all this other kind of crazy stuff. The stuff that you'd see at like Ranger Joe's outside of Columbus, Georgia, outside of Fort Benning.
Yeah. Do you like going to those stores?
No, not.
I don't do it all the time, but when I see one and I haven't gone in one in a long time, I'm always kind of curious. Sometimes you see old stuff that you look at and go, holy smokes.
There's an old one in Oceanside, like a surplus store right there on the strip. And then there's one in San Clemente, but it's not as good as the one in Oceanside. It just, I don't know. They never appealed to me.
I went, there was one outside of Fort Knox that I went to that was huge, absolutely positively huge. And for the Marine Corps, though, for a long time, they served a purpose, and that was, you know, we had this way where the Army, you could go, if you lost a canteen, you could go buy a canteen down at, I can't remember what they used to call it, what they call it on an Army base, cash sales or something like that.
Yeah, not cash sales, that's us, isn't it?
Yeah, we call it
cash sales. I know you're talking about, yeah, they call theirs a post.
Yeah,
they're not base.
But, you know, in the Marine Corps, you couldn't do that. So you had to go.
Right.
So these things were functional in terms of, you know, non-serialized items like canteens and I don't know what else. If you lost yours, you went out.
Poncho liners, ponchos, just goofy stuff.
You went out in town, you bought it. And, but some of them, though, around older stores like that, around, you know, older posts in the Army, you know, I could go in there and like walk around for an hour or so, just checking stuff out. So
we got one here in Granbury. It's pretty big and it's got all this stuff too. It's got like uniforms, like chocolate chip desert camis, Marine Corps Mar Patch, the old Santines, the old Woodlands. I mean, the tricolor deserts. I mean, it's got them all.
Yeah. Stuff hanging everywhere.
Yeah.
Did you buy anything? Did you see anything?
I talked to the kid and I said, hey, you know, how you doing? I introduced myself and said, you know, if you have any questions, give me a call. And so, you know, I didn't tell him who I was, but, you know, I was like, okay. And then, so he walked out and he's probably like, who's that guy?
So the Musselman Consulting business continues to expand?
No, I mean, I just talked to him. But I got the feeling that, again, I didn't want to get into it, you know, talking, because, you know, there's nothing, and I know people that have started these things, these shooting things, and it's like, you know, you did one enlistment, and now you're going to come out and teach shooting because right. You have an expert badge.
Right.
Yeah. Like, oh, for crying out loud. Then I had my class on Saturday, talked to women, and then we went to
just,
the range.
Wait, hold on. Just so you know, you would have been proud of me yesterday. Late in the afternoon, getting ready to cook dinner, stand in the kitchen. Patrick walks in. He's getting ready to mow the back lawn. And Colleen walks in and says, Colleen's now 15. Colleen's now playing water polo, which I kind of like. But she says, I want somebody to teach me how to fight. And I went, oh, nice.
Did you punch her?
No. No, Patrick did. I said, look, just so you know, if you're fighting, you've already lost.
She said, yeah, it's...
She said, what do you mean? I said, who are you going to fight? I mean, Colleen is built like olive oil, right? Stick woman.
I'm like, so she's going to fight a 9-year-old.
Who's you going to fight and win?
A 9-year-old.
I said, so the whole trick for you is do not put yourself in that situation ever. And she went.
Yeah, to avoid it all completely. And then, you know, but it's important to understand, like, what to do if in case you fight in that situation. But it's very, very hard unless, like you said, you got to really get in a fight.
Well, and again, I think what you beat to death is you're putting into their head, right? That it was one of the first things. So she said, "Guy, you have to make it so real." And I said, "Well, let me. So you're gonna get in a fight. Let's just say it's with some guy. He's gonna be pissed enough to fight you, and so he's gonna be enraged. And somehow or other, you're gonna come out the better for this." And I said, "It's not gonna happen. I mean,
right.
And I said, so that's my point to you." You know, can Patrick or I teach you some things? Gouge his eyes out, okay?
Bite him.
Gouge his eyes out, and look, is there some sequence of punches you should throw? No. Go hysterical. Scream, scratch his face, gouge his eyes out, bite him, kick him in the balls. Just go crazy and scream the whole time. And then get the hell away from him as quick as you can. He said that.
Once you create, you know, the distance. I mean, shoot, look at Rousey, you know, professional MMA fighter. She got her ass kicked.
Oh, yeah. That's
sad. She does it all the time.
That I want to say that crushed her life when she lost. She was like, you know, American badass on every television show, Ronda Rousey, blah, blah. Then she got smoked by a boxer. You know, who's just a better boxer, and the girl made her box and then knocked her out, what, twice, right? Or she lost it. Yeah, it was not good. And I mean, and it crushed her ego, her career, and then she went back, I think, fought one more time and got beat again, I think. It was not good.
The point is, it's hard to defend. I mean, all it takes is one punch, man. A punch to hit you in the jaw or somewhere, knock your ass out, and then now what?
Right. Yeah. No, and you to create space is the one thing. You know, I remember you said that, and it jogged my memory. Trying to teach that lesson, Mike and I had both have time in a light armored vehicle, and it has a 25-millimeter chain gun. The problem that you would have with Marines in teaching them how to fight their unit is that armor is not going to save you for much. And if you think that your 25 millimeter gun is a tank main gun, you are sorely mistaken. And the problem is, if you're not smart, if you don't keep your distance and somebody compresses that, for you to create distance, you're going to have to go faster or take more chances, one of the two. And if you go faster in the environments we tend to operate, normally you throw up a dust signature. And when you do that, you're setting the stopwatch to the end of your life. So be smart. Be smart, be smart, be smart, be smart. And it's the same way with self-defense. Mike constantly says it about you're giving people a false expectation. If you think, right, the big stuff, the Stay Puft Marshmallow guy that goes into the self-defense class, right?
Right, with the instructor right there watching every move.
Right.
And so it's a lot of, okay, when he does this, you do that. And so the problem is when you get in a fight, it never goes like the training. So you get into, you're in this vapor lock. You're like, oh, I don't know what's going to do. But then if you're not quick enough, and it's all based on that, the OODA loop cycle. So if your loop is not faster than your opponent's, you're going to get your ass beat. And that's what you got to understand. If you push more of your knowledge and your learning towards understanding the OODA loop and how to make your decision making process quicker, you have a better chance of winning in a fight like that, because whatever you do, he's got to react to it. So it's like, people ask me in the past, like when I used to get in fights, I always punch first. Always. People are like, you don't want to start a fight. I'm in a fight. What do you mean start it? It just hasn't gone to blows yet. So I always punch first. I always hit. I'm not going to wait to like, I'm going to wait till you punch me first. So that way I'm legal or whatever. No, you're fighting to,
Counterpuncher. My dad told me that. Never throw the first punch in a fight. And it takes me till I am in the Marine Corps before. So you grow up trying to be a counterpuncher?
Yeah, not going to work, man.
Let me just tell you, it did not work out. I remember the first time I got smoked in the jaw. This kid just walked up, and I can remember it was in a gym, in a middle school gym by my house in Sacramento. And he just hauled off and punched me, and I was so shocked, I didn't even hit him back.
Yeah.
And I felt, when I went home, I felt horrible. And I remember, I didn't throw the first punch. And I thought that was stupid. And then I got in college. We used to go hang out at a bar called Foggy's Notion in college. It was down by the Recruit Depot. And at 2 a.m. outside of that place, they'd be squaring off. And one of my roommates was a bouncer. And so I'd be hanging out with him and watching what they were doing, breaking up fights and sending people home. And it was just stupid. And there were some guys that were really good fighters. And all they did was throw punches. They didn't block anything.
Well, bouncers usually throw the first. They do the first move.
Yeah, they don't wait.
They're not going to wait.
If they interpret what you're doing as intent to fight, then boom, you're done. And I remember watching that, thinking, my dad screwed me up so bad by telling me that bullshit. Don't throw the first punch in a fight. It's the most important punch in a fight, along with the second, third, and fourth. So throw all four of them. Don't let them throw a punch.
It sets the whole thing.
But with women, it's you again. I think from the get go, I think you're absolutely right. Is hey, be aware of your surroundings, right? Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of your surroundings, and avoid it to the point of being. I would say it's not a bad thing to be a little bit paranoid. Don't put yourself in those situations. The juice ain't worth the squeeze. And so anyway, all right. Well, interesting kind of sidebar. All right, so you left the tactical store and
So then we just drove around. That was Friday, and then I think what we did was Saturday. We went to the class, and then did the class with the ladies. And then we went to the range and spent, shooting. And then, so it was a really good time.
Are you excited? Here's an email. Hey, Mac, ask the gunner about what you're excited about in 36 hours. Oh, that the 2020 presidential campaign is going to start in 36 hours? Are you fired up about that?
No.
Can somebody make it stop? Can somebody just hit the mute button and make it stop?
Some of the ads that are out there right now, it's like, you know, people are, you know, it's funny. It's people are more divided now, but they're divided for party reasons and belief systems.
I just played a thing on civility and the polls that this, it's called the Institute for Civility at the University of Arizona down in Tucson. They said that the nation is more divided now, even than it was in the 70s, more divided along political lines than the Reconstruction post-Civil War. That's pretty divided.
But it's divided based on political beliefs. It's not really anything else. It's driving that. It's political beliefs. And I'm not saying that makes it better, but...
I said this before, and it was only reinforced for me when I was back in D.C. There's so many people in this country that do great things, and what we see on the news is glorified version of the Jerry Springer Show. I believe that. That is not the United States of America that I know. It's not the United States of America that I experienced driving from Granbury, Texas to Jacksonville, North Carolina. It wasn't what I saw in D.C., all I saw was wonderful people helping other people. And so, but when we get it on politically now, it skews to the hot so fast, and there's no way to cool it off. There's no way to have measured, articulate debate because the media is not interested in it. It doesn't sell enough, blah, 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 blah. And so I don't know what saves it. And that bothers me. I don't know what changes it. And then now what you see at the 11th hour is you see all these, you know, like their political ambush ads. It's too late to correct them. And so now you see robocall that's being done by a group that's trying to get you to think that they're for one candidate when they're actually against them. And they've got this robocall going about whatever the racist past of somebody in the Atlanta governor's thing the Georgia governor thing, or, you know, and now you have these deliberate things done in this gross political thing that are scripted that are just disgusting. So I don't know. It's a gross political world that we live in. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I think what happens on the far side is, you know, possibly split, right? Democrats control the House, Republicans the Senate, and now even less gets done than got done the last 2 years. If you can imagine that. And that's not going to change for the foreseeable future. That's the landscape. And so do we go back to sequestration for the DOD? I don't know. And that's what got President Trump elected, was the dissatisfaction of people of hearing the bullshit that comes out of Washington, D.C. about we get it, we understand, and then they go to D.C. and nothing happens. So I'm not too
hopeful. Yep.
Same old stuff. But it is pretty interesting, though, that with all the states that have enacted, early voting, and they've extended days for that. I think that's awesome. I think, but the question will be, is that just the people that are going to vote that now go early, or is that going to mean that we're going to have higher voter participation in a non-presidential year, which would be cool. So it'll be interesting to see those numbers.
Right. Yeah, that would be
interesting. Right. Texas set a record. They had like 5 million people vote early. Who else? Somebody else I saw a headline that voted early a lot as well.
Yeah, Texas is very contested down here right now.
What's the biggest issue in Texas? Is it the Beto O'Rourke, Ted Cruz
thing? Yeah, it's the Ted Cruz, Beto O'Rourke thing. Yeah. I don't know how guys like that get here. You know, well, they rely on the cities. That's how they get here.
Right, right.
But it's just, it's bewildering. It's shocking to me that those guys actually, you know, have a following down here. because I mean, everything that he kind of, everything he pushes for, it's really kind of against, well, a lot of, it's against just about everybody's point of view here. I mean, except for the minority, people's, but, you know, open borders and higher taxes, and it's like, fuck. Crazy.
But you know what? It's interesting, Mike. You look at the demographics of the nation, and they're changing. I mean, when I was in D.C., I said this in the first hour, but I was looking for the AM, like, news station. So, you know, I get in the rental car, and I hit scan, right? Hispanic station, like, and then an English station, two more Hispanic stations, another English station. I was, you know, that's the nation now. You know, that's Washington, D.C. It wasn't Dallas, Texas, or Phoenix, Arizona, or San Diego. You know, and you go into most fast food places that I went in when I was in the area, and who are the majority of the workers there? They're Hispanic. So the nation's going to change here in the next 25 years. The question will be, how does it change? And to me, the biggest question is, how do you pay for everything that, how do you pay for all this? How do you pay for free health care? How do you pay for that everybody gets $50,000 a year? How do you pay for that? And I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand how they don't offer solutions. It leaves me scratching my head in terms of how do you pay for it? So anyway, so I guess you get more of your taxes to the government, and then you hope they do the right thing.
Yeah, hope is always a good case of action.
The elections. Don't be surprised if the Republicans retain the majority in the House. This will be a good test of the major news media's propaganda efforts. Yeah, you know, we went through this last election, right? You know, the polls essentially telling us one thing, and then reality was another. And so I guess we'll see. But as I said before, just a reminder to everybody, Election Day is Memorial Day. That is an expensive right that you have, right? It is your, in my opinion, your moral obligation to people who have gone throughout our history and fought for this country, fought for the idea of what the United States of America is. And part of what that is you have the right to vote, which not everybody has around the world. You ought to exercise that right. So get your ass out there and vote. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And for those of us who've seen elections in other countries where they normally didn't get to vote, to see people coming out and risking their lives to vote and showing their purple finger when they were done, pretty motivating. Pretty motivating. And so I would admonish you, go do that. Go do that. It's important.
All right.
So anything else? All right, did you get a birthday cake? Any presents?
No, I didn't.
I know,
I didn't want
but
that. So I got the whole, what do you want to do? I said, I just want to order pizza and watch movies. Yeah. And I don't want questions.
Oh. Now, do they normally comply and do what you want, or do they say, sorry, you're getting a cake, you're getting a present?
They comply.
They do?
Yeah.
No wonder. No wonder you love the person whose name we don't say. All right. What about, and Megan goes along that with that, too? You have Megan.
Yeah, Megan went by and got cupcakes at Gigi's, and mostly for her. And she just looks for the reason, like, oh, look, I got you. Black Forest cheese or Black Forest cupcake from the TV. Oh, okay.
You don't like them? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't, but I'm not.
I'll eat them.
So when we were down in, when I was down in Glen Rose on the way out, I went and got some fried pies. You know, the little, remember the store bought, who makes those? Hostess?
Fried pies?
Well, remember like the fruit pies? That are shaped like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, not like that. That's commercial.
What? Yes.
This one's homemade.
Oh.
So it's got the nice sweet paste, the bat, you know, like a pie doughy, but it's fried. And I got one with pecan, and I got one with cherry. Ooh.
Yeah, cherry. The Hostess pie. I could fire down a cherry pie at any point in the day. I love those things.
Yeah, these are actually better than that. They don't have that frosting on the outside of the pie.
They don't? I like that frosting, man.
No, you'd like these.
I know.
Homemade.
Homemade, of course. Yeah.
Real but cherries.
The Hostess one, that was part of my go-to junk. Like, do you remember what? A few months ago we were talking about the green and red burritos at 7-Eleven?
Yeah. I got some in the freezer.
Those were good, and they were huge.
Yeah, I like those.
You get one of those in a big gulp.
Mountain Dew.
Exactly. You were good to go.
Yeah.
We were good to go, but I would grab, like, going out the door, I would grab a cherry pie, too, and maybe a bag of M&M's. That was like, and I would be, like, the happiest kid in the world. Like, yeah, good, eating good today. Hey, that's not good for you. No kidding, it's not good for me. Here's another one. I want to ask you. The four Marines that got burned really bad that were in that AAV a year ago, remember that? Pendleton hit the gas line.
Yep.
They're suing SDG&E, Southern California Edison, and the companies, or Southern California Gas Company, and the companies that maintain the pipelines. Have you seen many service members sue companies?
No, I haven't seen really anything.
Yeah, I was trying to remember if I had seen that before, and I'm with you. I don't recall seeing it, but I hope they win, man. I hope they win. I mean, that spark opened up a flamethrower on the back of that vehicle, and they were lucky that a whole bunch of them were not burned alive, and so
yeah.
So some of them are still, you know. Again, what I want is I want them to get the same care Kim Kardashian would get. I don't want them to get VA care and somebody say, well, that's as good as we can do. I want them to get the money that whatever it takes to repair their skin, they have every resource available to do that. Because that shit ain't right. So, anyway. The, how big were the pies that Mike bought?
Oh, they're about the same as the Hostess pies. They're the same size.
Fried pies, that means they're deep fat fried, yes?
Yeah, probably an animal fat.
Ooh.
They were good.
And you bought pecan? My mom liked pecan pie. I did not.
I love pecan pie.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite pies.
I liked it for no good reason, too. I didn't like the way it looked. Because I like pecans on things.
Yeah.
So now, in retrospect, I'm thinking that was stupid. Are you a pumpkin pie guy?
Yeah, it's okay. My daughter makes pumpkin pie every year, so yeah, I am.
Yeah. See, I was not a big pumpkin pie person either. So, and you know what? Again, I look back. I don't know if that was a good call because my mom did not make food that did not taste good. Kathleen, she's pretty good cook. She's a pretty good cook.
Yeah.
The here's a question for you, a Granbury question. Hey Mac, how cold does it get in Granbury? Will it snow there?
We've had snow in the past. Yes. It's very rare. I mean, there's like a dusting of it.
A dusting.
Yeah. You know, it just covers the top of the grass.
And then goes away within a pretty short period of time.
Yeah, it depends on how it'll stay cold. If it stays cold, then it'll stick around for a while. But
got it. There you have it. That's normally the way in Texas and down south is that you can see that weather, but doesn't tend to last very long.
No, it goes away. Yeah, it goes away. But oh well. I mean, it gets cold. Don't get me wrong. It gets cold.
Sustained temperatures around where, Mike? 40?
Yeah, I don't stay in the 30s, 40s.
That's cold. And you know what? And it's a dry cold, too. I think that I tell people that even when it gets in the 50s in California, to me it feels like the 10s in North Dakota. And I don't know if it's because of the wet cold out here or whatever. But I prefer like that dry cold. This wet cold, man, I don't.
Yeah, that wet cold sucks.
Yeah, I don't like it, but whatever. Another email about cold. Speaking of cold, coldest air temperature you've ever been in. Not wind chill, air temperature.
Not wind chill?
Not wind chill, air temp.
Probably like 20 below.
I want to say living up in North Dakota, on the worst up there, you can get 10 below without even trying up there.
Right.
And I lived in the valley of the Red River, and for whatever reason, when the cold air would come down into Manitoba, it would come down that valley. I don't know why, the atmospherics, whatever the hell it is, but I think like between 40 and 45 below zero.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, to the point where they shut down the interstate because of the cold, because if something happened to you on the interstate, before anybody could get to you, you would freeze to death. Yeah, scary stuff. That cold, like, stuff just stops working because it's so cold. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy. Civil emergency, but, yeah, up there. Another way.
Hey, have you heard of the Armed Forces Service Medal?
Armed Forces Service Medal.
Yeah, neither have I. So the whole thing was, it was Bill Clinton put it into creation in 1996. And its criteria is the non-combat parallel of the Armed Forces Expeditionary, which normally were for combat operations, may be awarded to service members who participate or have participated in a member of units or units designed in a designed U.S. military operation deemed to be significant activity, encounter no foreign armed opposition or intimate hostile action. What the hell?
Like, explain, like, something that you're foreign. You're using the word foreign. Like, what would that be? You go someplace where nobody is?
Yeah, I don't know.
And do something that nobody sees? And we want to give you a medal for it.
Right.
Okay. All right. How about it? I've never seen it. I'm looking at it.
Right. I've never seen it either.
It's green, blue, yellow, aqua. I think that's probably an Air Force event.
Yeah, I don't get it. And then the Cold War Medal is both an official medal of the National Coast Guard and unofficial military medal.
What? An unofficial and official?
Yeah, the Cold War Victory Medal is both an official medal of the National Coast of the National Guard and an unofficial military medal of the United States. It is awarded by the U.S. states of Louisiana, Texas in the ribbon form only, and by the state of Alaska in the medal form.
Maybe you can get Texas to award that to you, and then you can redo all
but
your...
not worn in uniform. It may be worn by any member of the U.S. military or civilian employees of the federal government who have served in their positions honorably during the years of the Cold War.
That's us.
It's,
we're salty old dogs. We should rate that. You should, but then you'd have to redo all your medals. You'd have to
I'm not doing that.
You'd have to spend like $300 to get them all remounted.
Yeah, not gonna happen.
Huh? Huh? Hey, you're gonna get a no. What do you mean no?
You can keep that.
Yeah, maybe if it's something that's a star, let me give you what you can select from to award me. Here you go.
No stars, no, because same thing, man. If it's a star that you never had, but if it's like a second star, then the first star's got to move.
I know, I'm with you. So it's
and it's a total redo.
It's a first star. That's it. That's all I
first star. Yeah,
you can have this. So that leaves you the Navy Achievement Medal. Well, we can't give you a Navy Achievement Medal. Why not? We're not negotiating. I got asked this question recently. Hey, Do you get issued a medal when, and I'm not going to say who asked me this, because they're civilians, right? They don't know, right? So but they're dealing with special people that come from the San Diego area. So I got asked, do they give you a medal when you get awarded a medal? I said, yeah.
Sometimes.
He didn't get one. So he said he's not going to go spend the $20 to go buy a Silver Star. I said,
what?
I said, okay, stop.
Yeah. What?
You get issued it at the formation when it's
especially
presented.
Especially a silver star.
Right? So then the response was, well, he doesn't like stuff like that. He thinks it's bullshit, so he probably didn't go. I said,
what?
It's not a democracy, okay? Yeah. You show up, and that medal is a big deal. You show up, and it's given to you.
Here, let me step to the side. Why? Because I need to step out of the bullshit that's being given.
I know.
It's being shoveled into my AO.
Yeah, so she said, so he was presented it at a ceremony, and the medal was yes, 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 and yes. Oh. Yeah.
Maybe he's not. Yeah.
Maybe he's not being forthcoming. So, interesting.
Yeah.
And there was a question about TBI. Hey, if you were involved in an explosion and you're complaining about after effects, is it normal that you go get a CAT scan? I said, well, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, we're pretty sensitive to that stuff. And if you're a special person, I don't even think you have to ask. You just walk in and have it done. Well, he said they won't let him go. I said, I think you're not getting the whole story. So, anyway, so it's kind of interesting when you have people that don't deal with this stuff and then they're relying on something that somebody's telling them. And
yeah, and I've run into that before too. I hate sometimes when people go, "Oh, my son is a Marine," and I usually go, you know, that's like, "Oh, great," and that's it. You know, I don't like what. You know, I don't go any more into that, and I'm like, oh, great. And then it comes out like, oh, so he's in, like, and then a weird name or something or does this, and I'm like, You know, and you're like biting your tongue, like, there's no such thing. No such thing. And I've actually had people, well, there's a guy that went to Buck's shop one day. Stopped in, and he's a former Marine. Buck started talking to him, you know, and he found out he's a Marine. And he said, oh, yeah, my buddy's he lives near Granbury, he was a Marine. He goes, oh, yeah, what did he do? And he said, he was a gunner. And he goes, yeah, but what did he do? And he goes, no, he's a Marine gunner. And he goes, what do you mean? He goes, that was his rank. He goes, there's no such thing. He goes, no, I think there is. And he goes, no, he wasn't a Marine gunner. There's no Marine gunners in the Marine Corps. And it was like, no, the right answer would have been, there's no Marine Corps gunners in your Marine Corps because you never ran into one. You know, it's like, oh, my God.
Listen to this. I'm swimming at the 24-hour fitness. And the guy who's working around the pool, he's, like, taking buckets of water. And he's dipping in this bucket in the pool. He's throwing it on the area, the tile area around the pool, rinsing it all off. He's working hard, and somebody says, hey, man, slow down. You're killing it. He's like, I learned this in the Marine Corps, man. I love to work hard. So I was getting ready to swim, and I said, you were in the Marine Corps? And he says, yeah. And I said, what'd you do? He said, I was a truck driver. And I said, Iraq or Afghanistan? He said, no, I was in Iran.
What? What, did you get lost?
And I thought to myself, do you want to do this today?
No, yeah, that's what you, yeah.
See?
You get in that situation, like, I'm
getting smarter.
My gut is telling me no.
I don't want to do this.
But There looks like there could be some humor out of this.
No, and I wasn't in the mood for that because it would make me angry because I'm sure he would say something else subsequent to saying that he was in Iraq as a Marine. Oh, were you part of Desert One? What? What do you mean? Yeah. Okay. So, no, I just said...
Yeah, he's 24 years old. Were you in Desert One?
Yeah. I just said, that's awesome. And I started swimming. I was like... And I felt better about it. I thought, you know what? I did not fall for that. I did not
fall
for
that. Yeah, that's good. That makes your day.
Yeah, you know that you didn't. Now you're starting to mature as a human being at the age of 60, that you did not fall for that. The last time I had a bad experience, though, was I told you the story about the guy holding the sign that said, I'm not a loser, I'm just a Marine who's down on his luck. Can you give me some money? Served in Iraq, blah, blah, blah. And I started to spool on that one, and then I stopped, and I drove, and I took my dog and somebody else's dog and let him run in Sacramento by the Tower Theater and Tower Records on Broadway. And then on the way back, I saw him walking down the street, and I thought, you know what? If that's legit, I'll give him the $20 I got in my pocket. I get out. I said, hey, man, you're the Marine Corps? And I said, and he says, yes. And he's still got a sign in his hand. And I said, who are you with? He said, 2nd Marines. We were under 18th Airborne Corps in Tikrit. I said, really? I said, 2nd Marines, where were you in the United States? He said, Camp Pendleton.
For training?
I snatched the sign out of his hand, and I said, if I see you using the word Marines on a sign again, I'm going to get out of the car and I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Don't use our valor to beg, because you're a liar, right? Not one thing you told
me. You, man.
Not,
what a dick.
Not one thing you told me is true. I throw the sign in the back of my truck, and he yells, hey, man, you got problems. I said, oh, I know. I do got problems, okay?
And you're one of them.
Don't use that word. Use any of the other services. Do not use the M word. You understand me? He's like, whatever, man, whatever. And I left. Because that's what, you know what? They say the wrong thing, and then it starts to piss you off. And that's no bueno. That's no bueno.
Right.
Another email. Mike and Gunner, we have people in our honor guard, which does funerals as a group for veterans that have passed away. And I see some of the ribbons on the Army Reservists, and I got to think, they're making some of this shit up.
Oh.
I think they hand out ribbons if they make numerous trips to the PX.
Yes.
They do things different. They do things different. That's a bad business to get into, though. Unless you see something like some of those posts you see on Facebook where they have like different pictures of dudes rolling around with their shit that are imposters, which, you know, some of them are crazy. They're straight up crazy things. Just smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave. Just go be part of the honor guard and respect everybody's valor. Unless it's something crazy, then you go down that rabbit hole. But
ribbons should be given on the merit of something that is not expected. Not so, you know, I'm always not a big fan of the Good Conduct Medal because what? You're rewarding people for not being stupid?
How about the Breathing Medal, the National Defense Medal?
Yeah, I mean, just because I was in the military?
Yes.
Yeah, and see, I'm not a big fan of those things. I like things.
When did that happen, Mike? Because, you know, you see guys who fought in World War II and they've got like two ribbons.
Yeah, that's the good thing. Well, then, you know, campaign ribbons, those are good.
Yes.
So, you know, that was the campaign. You did something. You fought in a campaign. But ribbons that you, no matter, like, I expect you to behave well. So why should I reward you for it?
Because most don't behave well, and it's such an exception that we want to reward people. That Marine Corps Good Conduct Medal. When do you think it originated?
Oh, we were just around World War II.
Hmm. The U.S. Navy's variant of the Good Conduct Medal was established in 1869. The Marine Corps' version in 1896. We've been giving it out forever, trying to get people to behave. I thought it was much later than that. Because literally, you do. You see guys who served in World War II, like, what'd you do in World War II, sir? I fought on Guadalcanal. I fought on Bougainville, Peleliu, and Okinawa.
Yeah.
Got all three.
When your uniform starts looking like Omar Gaddafi or any other third world dictator, it's time to, stop.
Recalibrate. Yeah, if you get badges like Girl Scouts get them, oh, fuck. Did you see the story of two Girl Scouts and another woman killed in Wisconsin picking up trash on the side of the road?
No.
Oh, shit. It almost made me sick to my stomach reading it. Right? Here are these girls going out to do something good. And so I will say this. Do not do that. Do not pick up trash on the side of the road. Find someplace else to do it. And I would tell you, if you're going to do it, right, if you don't have security people posted out to scream and yell and you're not far enough off, then do not do it. The story is horrible. It's as bad as that Army Major Reserve type mayor of North Provo with seven kids who got killed by somebody in Afghanistan. It's like, oh, shit, man. So, anyway, don't pick up trash. Find some other way to contribute. Get a different badge. Get in a different place. Just sickening. 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 So, anyway. Yeah, shit. Out doing good things and get killed for it? Come on. Come on. Don't do that. So, anyway. All right, what else is on the agenda for today? You've already voted. Are you part of the? Are you gonna carpool people to vote? Are you involved in anything on election day?
No. Just can't wait for it to get over. Today, going to Lowe's, looking at trim for the back screens, replace the trim.
Hold on, back screen trim.
Yeah, on the back porch.
Yeah.
The solar screens that we got.
Yes.
Trim that hides that seam.
All right. Is that something easily replaceable? Is it like a molding piece?
Right. No, that's pretty easy.
All right. So we got that going on today. What else?
That's about it.
I've got to do a little packing today. Flying up to Minnesota on Thursday.
Oh, for your talk.
Yeah. I got to give two talks.
Yeah.
So
I told you. Do the one. Pledge allegiance. Set the condition.
Everybody, stand up. Let's all recite the Pledge of Allegiance. My God, Mike.
Serious.
Should I bring that up about, can you imagine if somebody would have said this in the John F. Kennedy? Ask not.
Yeah, I'd do that. We've changed, bring it up in a thing of how much we've changed in the United States where, could you imagine someone today saying, not ask what you can do? Or what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. What would we think of that?
Well, interestingly enough, here's what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to, first of all, right, Gold Star families, if you're a member of one, if you're a member of an extended Gold Star family, please stand up. Thank you. If you're a Vietnam veteran, please stand up. Thank you from everybody who serves today, me recently retired. We get treated like kings and queens because of what you went through. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Every other veteran in the room, now stand up. Do it now!
Right. Yeah.
Oh, hello, fun with them. And then talk about this is the 100th anniversary of the armistice of November 11th, 1918, and say a word about that. Maybe talk about Fred Stockman, Marine who gave his gas mask to another Marine who was wounded in the Battle of Belleau Woods after a chemical attack and died, from gas inhalation that day. And then the great contributions veterans make outside the active duty, things like Team Rubicon, started by a Marine veteran, things like FedEx, I mean, that affects us all. And what do you owe? You owe service? You owe service. Every person in here owes service. This country didn't get to be the way it is because nobody cared about it. You owe to serve. Volunteer at Special Olympics. Don't pick up trash on the side of the road. I'm against that. But just serve. And then say, but let me leave you with one thought about something that concerns me. The lack of respect that is developed in this country and the way we cannot even hold a respectful, articulate discussion anymore. And places like this, universities like this, that is becoming more and more rare. You see screaming, yelling, rioting, and you I hope that you can be part of what turns that around in this country, that we learn respect again in this country. So I think it's something like that. Something like that.
Good
my
luck.
Concern.
Good luck. I'd like I said that if you're gonna talk like that, then I'd do the Pledge of Allegiance.
You know what? I probably won't do that, but I do think it's an opportunity. I've never.
But they invited you. They know what your background is. What do they want you to say?
I don't know. They've put no limits on my discussion, so they'll get what they get. But
yeah, I mean, you're not going to sacrifice your beliefs, are you?
No. If I play that thing. If you can't tell the truth, then why go?
Right.
And I think it's important. If you
don't get protested, then it wasn't a good speech to begin with.
You know what? I am a little bit surprised, though, that they would take an unknown commodity from outside the region for their. And again, this is like the University Veterans Day luncheon. Their administrators or stuff like that. So it's not like, the veterans over in the veterans section of their little office or anything like that. It's not that. It's the university. So it's kind of interesting opportunity.
Yeah, that's why I will never get the invite to talk to a university.
No, but you know what? You did get invited to talk to the staff at NCO Academy after you'd been critical of them for years.
I said the same things there, and they were like, the young Marines got it. I was pointing out, like, hey, if your shoe fits, wear it, boys and girls.
Right.
And, and some of the guys, some instructors there that understood what my point was, but for the most part, a lot of them were like,
well, if you're guilty,
it hurts.
You're getting called out.
Yeah. If you feel guilt when someone's speaking about something, and I say this, I'm not trying to single anybody else, but if the shoe fits.
Wear the son bitch, right?
Yeah, put it on.
Put that son bitch on. We don't even need Buck. Yeah, no alterations. If that fits like a glass slipper, then it's you, bro. Yeah. Deal with it. You know, I'm excited about all these investigations about the Catholic Church around the country. Because as a Catholic, the Catholic Church asked people that were in on it to reform it. It never works like that. And so what's going to happen is some of these people are going to jail, and it's going to, at some point, you're going to get, they're going to do away with the stupid celibacy shit, and you're going to get guys like we know that are devout Catholic, guys like Dan O'Donohue that would love to be priests if they could have their family. And they would be awesome leaders in communities all over the country.
Right.
And so, but.
We'll see how that goes.
But you can't ask the guys that are part of it to reform it because it never works. And when you go someplace and you call people out and they're like, yeah, whatever, guess what? Then that means you're part of it. And you should probably go away someplace if it's going to change. So, whatever. All right, man. Well, good luck with your mold. Your mold.
Yeah, I'll be molding. My molding project.
Not your mold. Good luck with your mold, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, sounds good.
There you have it. The one and only. The man, the myth, the legend himself from Granbury, Texas. He sounded happy today. Doesn't always sound happy, but he was happy. He sounds like at peace with something. And I need to move that song because for whatever reason, I see it and I play it when I really want to play this one. Go vote. Don't watch the news. Okay? Just quit it. Hashtag quit watching 24/7 news. That's too long. Somebody send me a shorter one. Mac, I should have qualified my email by saying the reservists that I'm talking about basically were reservists that never were called to active duty. They were prior to the mid-80s, and later these guys in the reserves to avoid active duty service back in the 60s and 70s. You know, there was a lot of that that went on. The reserves were not getting called up. So guys joined the reserves as a way of avoiding Vietnam, but still serving. And then once those reserve contracts filled up, then it was, yeah, you're going. And the reserves have their own crazy award schemes. Yeah, there's medals. I mean, if you start looking, I can't remember, Mike had me look up something one day, and it was like, it was pretty crazy. Crazy reserve medal stuff. Anyway, if you're just joining us, don't touch that dial. Yeah. Don't touch the dial. We're going to talk about civility. In a nation that deals with disrespect, where if you're polite, you're probably ridiculed, how did we get, wasn't civility part of that whole package, right? The way you behaved when you played sports growing up, the way you conducted yourself out of business, in business, right? You didn't scream and yell and you didn't scream and yell and bloviate when you did something good athletically. That's all changed. That's all changed. And now get louder, get in somebody's face when you disagree with them over something. I saw a video of a girl in Florida, and I didn't even know what party she was affiliated with. She was throwing milk or water on people when she was screaming at them. It's like, what are these, you know, what do these people think about? So, I don't know. What does the nation become? Sad. It's an awesome country, but it's being turned into shit by the shitheads that govern it. The media model has changed. And so in the second hour, you're going to hear from the Center for... Wait a minute. Hold on. I'll tell you her exact title. She's the executive director, Karen Lukensmeyer. Executive Director of the National Institute for Civil Discourse at the University of Arizona. This is recorded in April of 2016. But I found it was really interesting. So you're going to get to hear her. About civility. Is it something that is leaving the landscape? And our problem's going to be on the backside of this election that nobody's going to have a majority. All we're going to see is more of the same stuff that led to the frustration that got Donald Trump elected. You're going to see nothing constructive coming out of Washington, D.C. And even, let's just say, if you go down that road, let's just say a Democrat is elected president of the United States in 2020. Right? There won't be an overall, you know, a huge change in the Senate. This is not going to happen. So you're still going to have a divided Congress. And nothing is still going to get done. So that's really the problem in the country, is that you have this great frustration in the nation. And I'm not sure how it changes. Have a good one. Sorry to leave you with a problem and no solution, but that's the way it is today. On a Monday, All Marine Radio, over and out.